Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Amos this morning. Amos in the New Testament, one of the minor prophets. Not minor in importance, but minor in volume of content, but of equal importance to the major prophets. Hosea, Joel, Amos. I think it should work that way. Amos, the third chapter. Our yearly theme for this year is revival, the need for revival, summed up by a prayer based upon Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. God of eternity, revive the spirit of the humble, revive the heart of the contrite ones. Amos, the third chapter, please. Let's read verses 1 and 2, and then we will pray. Verse 1 reads, "Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family, which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities." And then the third verse reads, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Let's bow for prayer. O God, we pray that you will teach us from your precious word. I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of need. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. The word revival is a makeup of a word vive or viva, life, revival, relife, renew. Literally resuscitate. And this is the need of the hour, the need for revival. Now, revival is only possible when there is life. You cannot revive a dead man. There must be life, and in a spiritual sense, there needs to be the life of the Spirit in order for a person to be revived spiritually. The Bible teaches us that we are born again by the Holy Spirit, by hearing and responding to the Word of God. In the Gospel of John chapter 3, Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God." That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. And that religious man by the name of Nicodemus asked the question, how can these things be? And the Lord Jesus went on to say that you need to be born of the Spirit. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And then the Lord Jesus went on to teach that religious man, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, we are sinners by choice. We are sinners by birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. God can only revive one that has the presence of God's Spirit within. And we are born again by the Holy Spirit in and through the precious Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I trust that you are a Christian this morning. I trust that there has been a time in your life that you've repented of your sin, acknowledging your need of a Savior. And you've chosen to believe the gospel that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. and that he was buried and that he rose again from the dead on the third day. And upon belief in that good news of the gospel, you have made the decision to repent and turn to Christ and receive him as personal Savior and Lord. At that very moment of that decision, you are born again by the Holy Spirit of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I trust that you're a Christian this morning. Revival is only possible when there is life, the life of the Spirit within. In Jesus Christ, we are delivered from the penalty of sin. Jesus Christ bore our sins upon his own body, paid fully for our sin. And by placing your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you are delivered from the penalty of sin, which is death and hell. But also in Christ, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, we are delivered from the power of sin. The power of sin. Not that we can walk sinless, but we can walk in victory over sin. The power of sin has been broken. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, it talks about sin shall no longer have dominion over you. The penalty of sin, the power of sin. But my friend, it's only when Jesus Christ returns. The Bible teaches an imminent, personal, and visible return of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ will come and we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with him. At that point, we will be delivered from the presence of sin. Quickly, 1 John chapter 3, please. We'll go back to the book of Amos shortly. Or should I say eventually. 1 John, the third chapter. Verses 1 and 2. 1 John. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the word behold means to view, to look upon. Behold. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. We spend plenty of time looking into the mirror, beholding ourselves. But we need to, from time to time, spend time beholding the greatness of our God. Do we not? Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon you, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Then note verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that. This we know without doubt, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise God, we've been delivered from the penalty of sin. Praise God, we've been delivered from the power of sin. And praise be to God that one day we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. Now, until that glorious moment, we continue to battle on this side of eternity, do we not? We continue to battle with the flesh, that sinful nature within, that combats the work of the Spirit within. And my friend, if there is no battle within you, between the flesh and the spirit, I would examine yourself whether you be in the faith. So we battle with the flesh, that sinful nature that hasn't been eradicated. It won't be eradicated until we are changed into his image once and for all at his appearing. So we battle with the flesh and we battle with the world. We are in a worldly system, are we not? The onslaught of the godless, worldly system is all around us. That's a battle. And of course, we battle with the devil and his fallen angels that oppose the work of God relentlessly. Ephesians chapter 6, please. We are told in verse number 11 and 12 of Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickeries, strategies, the works of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In places of authority, the devil is at work. The devil is at work in Canberra. Within Parliament, the devil's at work. Mark my words. That was evident this week with the failure of this religious discrimination bill. It was always destined to fail. How can you expect unbelievers to pass such a bill? I prophesied from the start it'd be a failure. Thank God I'm not a false prophet. It was destined to fail. Because we have unbelief and sodomites as members of parliament. What do you expect? Sodomites that would leave their own political party and vote against a bill that was proposed by their party? What do you expect? So until that glorious moment at our Lord's return, we will battle with the flesh, we will battle against the worldly system that we are in, and we will be confronted by the works of the devil and his fallen angels all around us. And all the above oppose the Christian in every which way, in trying to distract and destroy the fervor for Jesus Christ. We note here in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, Revelation, third chapter, from verses 14 until the end of the chapter, gives us a message given to the church of the Laodiceans. And this is the last but not least of the churches addressed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what our Lord Jesus teaches or has to say to this church is a fitting picture of the state of the New Testament church today. And the reason why we need revival. Note here in Revelation, the third chapter, for the sake of time, go to verse 15. I know thy work, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. These are words eloquent words of the Lord Jesus. So you lukewarm Christians, you make me sick. Sick to the stomach. I feel like vomiting you out. This is Jesus Christ. Note the lukewarmness evident in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not thou that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, truly rich. And white raiment, thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke. Jesus said, I'm rebuking you because I love you. And parents, every now and again, your child needs a bit of a rebuke. A bit of a holy spank. When was the last time you rebuked and gave your child a good holy spank and said, no. No. That is love. That is love. To allow your child to become a spoiled brat that just lives according to their own whims, you are creating a rebel, a criminal, a welfare dependent individual that will break your heart eventually and cost this country in welfare. Amen, Pastor. And Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. You parents, make sure you give your child a good spank every now and again. Oh, my child doesn't need it, Pastor. They're almost perfect. It's unbelievable. You are blind, man. You need some eye salve so you can see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And note verse 20, please. This self-sufficient church. That had everything materially, but very little spiritually. Jesus said, I love you, therefore I'm rebuking you. Look at verse 20. This is a sad verse. Behold. Now bear in mind, this is the Lord Jesus. I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Question. Is the Lord Jesus inside or outside? And the Lord Jesus knocking on the other side of the door. Wanting an invitation. Wanting to be within. And this church has deteriorated to the point where Jesus Christ no longer is a resident, but he has become a stranger on the other side of the door. My friend, the church at Laodicea accurately describes biblical Christianity today. Lukewarm. Jesus Christ is treated like a stranger on the outside. On the outside of our lives, when we should have him as Lord and Master over our lives. And what a sad commentary that Jesus Christ is knocking at the door asking for entrance. This church was in need of revival. They'd lost the plot. May I submit to you, my friend, many of us are in need of revival. This is why we need revival. We need revival personally, and our nation is in need of revival. Please turn back with me to the book of Amos. Hosea, Joel, Amos. We see within the book of Amos that God will judge those that oppress God's people. That is the essence of chapter 1 of Amos, leading into chapter 2, the third verse. And from verse 4 of chapter 2 onwards, God spells out very clearly to Israel as a nation, because note there in chapter 3, as we read there in verse 1, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Egypt, that God will also judge his people for their sin. Amos was called to preach a very firm and stern message of judgment. Not only in relation to those nations that oppress God's people, God will judge. But God said as well that I'm not only going to judge those Gentile nations that have ill-treated the apple of mine eye, but I'm also going to judge my own people. These words are against the children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up out of the land of Egypt. Chapter 3, verse 1. So we see that the Gentile nations and Israel were not exempt from being held accountable. For the way they lived, the way they responded. And my friend, as a way of application, may I submit to you and I that so likewise, you and I are not exempt from the fact that we will be held accountable for how we live or don't live our Christian lives. Just keep your finger there for a moment and go to 1 Peter chapter 4, please. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, the Bible reads, For the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be? Of them that obey not the gospel of God. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? God will hold man accountable for the choices he or she makes. And the Bible teaches us that judgment must begin in the house of God. God will hold his people accountable. And more so, God will hold the ungodly accountable. We are not exempt. As we go back to the book of Amos, please. From chapter 2 onwards. Amos the prophet, as he spells out some of the sins of God's people, we will note the same sins are evident amongst God's people today. And this is why we need revival. This is why we need revival in 2022. In chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he addresses the issue of disobedience to the word of God. Amos chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. In answering the question, why do we need revival, Pastor? Why do we as the people of God have a need for revival, for God to work and to revive his people that are in essence, just like the church of the Laodiceans, we are rich materially, but we are poor and naked spiritually. Jesus Christ is no longer inside. He is on the outside trying to get back in. Why do we need revival? Because first and foremost, because of disobedience. Disobedience to the word of God. Note here in Amos chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. Because they have despised the law of the Lord and have not kept his commandments, and their lies caused them to err after that which their fathers have walked. Note the judgment announced in verse 5. But I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. My friend, why do we need revival in 2022? Because of disobedience to the word of God. We have an epidemic, pandemic, call it what you want, of disobedience to the word of God. And that's why we need revival today. God said to his people here within these verses, I'm going to use the Babylonians. That's whom he's referring to. And by fire, they're going to devour Jerusalem in reference to the Babylonian captivity of Jerusalem, of Judah in 586 BC. And God said, I'm going to use the Babylonians to judge you by fire because you have deliberately disobeyed my word. Deliberately. You've despised the law of the Lord. You have not kept his commandments. You have followed in the ways of your forefathers that were given to idolatry. You have deliberately disobeyed my word. You're not going to get away with it. My Bible teaches me, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? You know you should be a soul winner. When was the last time you witnessed to anybody? You know you should read your Bible daily. Did you read your Bible this morning? You know the Bible teaches we have to pray without ceasing. How often do you pray? Deliberate disobedience to the word of God. And God said to Judah, hey, I'm going to send the fire. I'm going to send the Babylonians. They're going to come and destroy your palaces in Jerusalem. Samuel, as he stood before King Saul, after his disobedience, Samuel said in 1 Samuel 15:22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? What do you think God values more, Saul? Offerings or obedience? Saul has just gone in and offered a sacrifice to God that was not his place to do. And Samuel the prophet said, what do you think God values more, your offering or obedience? Then Samuel went on to say, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken, to take note of God's word and obey, to hearken than the fat of rams. See, God's people, the nation of Israel, instead of holding on to God's objective truth, they let themselves be led astray by the false gods, which had deceived in time past their ancestors. These idols were deceptive. They weren't able to provide any help for God's people. And God warned them, don't follow idols. And God has spelled out in the Word of God so many warnings, beloved. And yet we as the people of God are often so guilty of just deliberately turning a blind eye to the plain teachings of the Word of God. That's why we need revival. God's people had become obstinate, stubborn. They openly and flagrantly displayed their sin before God. In verse number 8, they took advantage of the poor and they openly and flagrantly, proudly displayed their sin before God. My friend, we need revival today because many of God's people that know better and not simply obeying God. And good old Samuel of old said to King Saul, hey, what do you think God values more? Offerings or obedience? Jesus said, if you love me, that's why we need revival. That's why we need revival. Disobedience. Disobedience. He also addresses the issue of a lack of compassion amongst God's people. Look at verse number 6, please. Amos chapter 2, verse number 6. He once again uses this little phrase, for three transgressions of Israel and for four. It's a term, a phrase that he uses to convey, I'm going to judge. Rest assured, I'm going to judge. God will judge disobedience amongst his people. But God will also judge a lack of compassion amongst God's people. In verse number 6 it reads, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because thou hast sold the righteous for silver, and the poor for a pair of shoes. Look at verse 7. That pant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor. And turn aside the way of the meek. And a man and his father will go in unto the same maid to profane my holy name. So we see here within verse 6 and the first part of verse 7 that many were selling into slavery fellow poor Israelites who could not pay their debts. Even honest people, the righteous, who couldn't be trusted to repay, eventually were sold for the silver they were owed. And even the desperately poor were enslaved for insignificant sums and were sold even to the equivalent of a pair of sandals. Now God said to his people that you are to be generous and open-handed towards those that are needy and those that are poor. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 to 11. But yet we see the cruelty that prevailed amongst God's people, where the poor, the less advantaged, were taken advantage of, and they were sold into slavery, which was forbidden. Full stop. God said of their people they were not to enslave their own. They were so cruel towards fellow Israelites. They were so cruel that it's likened here in verse number 7, likened to being trampling these poor, underprivileged underfoot. Have you ever had anybody walk over your head? Horrible thought. And this is what God said God's people were doing to one another. They were trampling over heads. It was not only forbidden to enslave a Jew, but also to take advantage of the poor was absolutely detestable in God's sight. This lack of love and compassion for one another, God said, I'm going to judge you, I'm going to judge you because of your lack of compassion and love for the brethren. And he stresses the same point in chapter 4, verse 1, chapter 5, verse 11, chapter 8, verse 6. I'm going to judge you because of your outright disobedience. I'm going to judge you because of your lack of compassion for your fellow Israelites. Note what Galatians 6:10 reads. Please, Galatians 6:10. Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, the Bible reads, let us do good unto all men. Let's read the second part together. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So the Bible teaches us we are to do good to all men. Seek to help all men. But especially God's people. And 1 John chapter 3 verse 17 teaches, and whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? What about Galatians chapter 5, please? Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 15. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Praise God, we are free in Christ. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Good advice. But use our liberty for what? By love, what? Serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as who? Thyself. But, look at verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, question, is he addressing Christians or non-Christians? When I used to play football, we used to bite and devour one another. Many a time I'd flash in the face of the referee, look, he bit me. And I thought, you only bite and devour on football fields. But I've learnt over the years that Christians bite and devour one another. And that's why we need revival. It ought not to be. It ought not to be. Beloved, we are in need of revival today. Because instead of loving one another and doing good to all men, especially unto the household of faith, we are biting and devouring one another. That's why we need revival. There is a lack of compassion for one another, generally speaking, amongst God's people. The love of many has waxed cold in the life of the average Christian. And God said to his people in the book of Amos, I'm going to judge you because of your disobedience and your lack of compassion. Now, more to come tonight. We're just warming up. We just warmed up the engine. I haven't put it in drive yet. Tonight, believe me, we're going to drive. And we're going to take the handbrake off. And push down the accelerator. But just for this morning, my point is simply this. We need revival. Lack of obedience. Why should I be begging you to come out soul winning? Honestly. Why should I have to say to life stage teachers, I expect you to come out soul winning at least twice a month if you want to be a teacher in this church? I shouldn't have to do that. Should I? Because Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Should I be hounding you to read your Bible and pray and forgive and love others and go soul winning and love your wife and obey your parents and submit to your husband and lead your wife? God has already spelled it out in the Word of God. Parents, why do I have to tell you to spank your child every now and again? Because they need it.
If you're going to love them, you'll give them a holy spank. Otherwise, you'll raise a brat. And some of you already have your hands full because you're not disciplining your child. You are disobeying the word of God. The worst is yet to come. Mark my words. We need revival because we need obedience. I shouldn't be begging you to come to church tonight. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Is that pretty plain? Talk to me. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Why am I begging you to be in church whenever the doors are open? Oh, Pastor, you shouldn't have to because God told us to be in church whenever the doors are open. Exactly. So I'll see you tonight at 6 p.m. And if you're not here, I take the role. I know who's here and who's not. It's all up here. It'll just be a reminder, this is why we need revival. Christ loved the church. Why don't God's people love the church? God of eternity, revive the spirit of the humble, revive the heart of contrite ones. We need revival. Because of the disobedience and the lack of compassion that prevails amongst many of God's people. We'll say more tonight. But for now, let's bow our heads and close our eyes and thank you for your attention.